In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In the beginning, we congratulate you for the first day of the Mother of God fasting. Today, the first day of Misra. And St. Mary fasting extends only 2 weeks. After which we celebrate the appearance of the body of the Mother of God after the disciples fasted, asking the Lord to let them see her pure and holy body. May her intercession be with us and give us an acceptable fasting and fruitful one, actually not only in the 2 weeks, but in all our lives as of now. Second, the Christian year or the Christian calendar is equal to the Coptic year or the Coptic calendar in its days. The Christian a year of 365 or 66 if it is leap, and also the Coptic year has the same. However, the difference is that the Coptic year has 12 months times 30 days equal 360 days, and then a short month or a small month called An-Nasi, 5 days in the normal year or 6 days in the leap year. But at the end, they are the same in the number of days. So today is the first day in the last month before the short month until the Nowruz, the beginning of the Coptic year. That's why we'll see that the readings as of today until the end of the Coptic year concentrates on the fruits that the Lord is waiting for us to present to him. The parable that we heard today is not the first time that the Lord uses the same parable. He used it in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, when he said, "Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard." My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? It's almost the same. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament used the same parable with some more details. He explained how did the people resisted the word of God and resisted the work of God for them. They refused the prophets, the messengers, the people who came to preach and to remind them that the Lord is waiting or awaiting for a fruits. But unfortunately, they wounded ones, they refused one, they cast one out, and at the end, they crucified the beloved son of the owner of the vineyard, God the Father. And in this parable, we have some meanings, very important. Number one, you are not the own of the vineyard. No one of us is the owner of his life. Even my spirit, even my blood, even my body, even my soul, it's like a talent. The only owner of that is the Lord who created me and put me in this world. So, if I take all what I have or what I live to myself, forgetting or ignoring that I am not the owner, this is the problem. When I am the owner, then I am free to use my mind as far as I want, my senses as impure I want, my steps everywhere I want to go. But if I have the concept that I am not the owner, then I have to be faithful on everything the Lord gave me. And I'm asked to present fruits to him. This is number one. I'm not the owner. Number two, the fruits don't affect the Lord. Meaning, if I don't have fruits in my life, the Lord will not decrease. If I have fruits, the Lord will not increase. He is the unlimited. What I do does not affect him. Number three, it affects me. I am the responsible to my behaviors, either to reject or to accept, either to do whatever he asked me to do or ignore his commandments and hurt myself. Actually, the fruits that the Lord is awaiting for me is the best life for me on earth and also makes me worthy through his brother's salvation to inherit the kingdom of heavens there eternally. This is the meaning of this parable. I'm not the owner. The fruits does not affect God. It affects me. And although I am the owner, I am asked to be faithful in whatever I received from him. That's why at the end of the year, the Lord is asking, where are the fruits? Where are the fruits? I created you out of love. This is what he said in the book of Isaiah. Now let me sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. The goal of his creation, to share with him. Out of love, he created me. And when I fell in my sin, in my behavior, he saved me on the cross. But this vineyard actually has some specifications. Number one, this vineyard was built on a very fruitful hill. Very good atmosphere for you to bring forth fruits. Very. Hill means high, and high means above the earthly desires. When he created me and created me in his image and likeness, above all things, above all creation. And when he saved me, he gave me his divine nature and made me an altar and temple of his Holy Spirit to dwell in me and live forever on earth and in heavens. So I am above, I am on the hill. So I have no excuse. This is number one. Number two, he dug it and cleared out its stones to make sure that the vineyard must be fruitful. He pulled out all the stones, all the preventing matters which prevent me from growing spiritually. These are the stones which obstacle my growth spiritually. Number three, he planted it with the choicest vine. What is the choicest vine? On his likeness and image. He breathed in me his spirit. So I became a being, a living being. And this is the choicest vine that the Lord created in me. And when I fell in sin, this vine was renewed again in my heart through the Holy Spirit which I received after the baptism in his name, believing in his salvation. So now I don't have an excuse. The choicest vine is still in me. The best encouragement, Holy Spirit, dwells in my heart. So I also have no excuse. He built a tower in its midst to guard me. The tower here is to guard me. And the use of the tower is to warn the people that there is an enemy coming. He put in my head his love. He put in my head that I am the Son of God through his salvation. This is the tower. However, he also made a wine press in it. The wine press is to press vine to give wine. And this is the tribulations. And this is the difficulties. This is the troubles. This is the persecutions. So he insisted to do that to make me attach it to him, asking him for help when I am pressed through the difficulties of this world. But this wine press actually is very useful for me because it helps me to bear the fruits that the Lord is awaiting from me. Then, when he expected to bring forth good grapes, I gave him a wild grapes instead. Now I ask myself, what excuse, what answer should I give him when he calls me on the last day asking, where are the fruits that I gave to you? I gave myself to you an example, the top love. I loved you while you are sinners. I loved you unconditionally. I loved you until I died for your sake. I loved you until I booked a place, a mansion for you in heavens when I ascended into heavens. I love you when I sent my Holy Spirit to dwell in you and live in you forever. Why do you disobey all that? Why do you ignore all that? This is the question I ask myself. If the Lord gave me a very simple eyes, why do I use these eyes in bad stuff, impure them? If the Lord gave me a good mind to think of, why do I keep myself far, far from the wisdom of God? Following foolish stuff hurt me. If the Lord gave me senses to use and to be delighted of the creation that He created for me, why do I switch the using of these senses in distracting myself instead of instructing? This is the question. Simply, this is the question. What answer should I give Him? And that's why today, the Lord at the end of the last month of the year is asking me to bear fruits and say, how many times did you speak to me lovely? How many times did you read my words, which is the words of life? And this life is not on earth, but eternal life has power and resurrection. Why, if I insisted to you that Satan cannot be cast out without prayer and fasting, you ignore the fasting? I'm very sorry to say, most of us now ignore the fasting, which was one of the very important materials, tools that I used to help me to repent, to improve my spiritual life, and to be more attached to the Lord. He himself declares clearly that this Satan, the devil, cannot be cast out except هنا بيسموها جملة شرطية, except with prayers and fasting. I give myself hundreds of excuses. Does the Lord await for me to take fasting food instead of non-fasting food to be good? Yes. He's awaiting not for him, but for me. Because this is something makes me stronger to have self-control in my life, to guard my senses and my ways in this world and my behavior as well. The Lord is awaiting for the fruits. Please, don't be tight. Be generous enough to present to Him your repentance from the bottom of your heart. Is very important. Your prayers out of very love to Him is important. Your fasting helps you strongly. Your service in the church, very important. To serve your brothers and sisters, very important. To love everyone unconditionally. Don't love who love you, but love who hate you more. He said, "Kida, love your enemy." He said that. And He gave me the power to do that. I cannot do it alone, but I can do it through Him, through the power in me, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. And actually, at the end of the day, I don't have enemies in the church. I don't have enemies among the people at all. The only stronger enemy is Satan. And when anyone behaves towards me according to what Satan says, I rebuke Satan, not him. Do you remember when Peter said to the Lord, no, forbid, don't say that. No one will leave you to go to the cross. What did the Lord answer? He said to him, go away from me, Satan. He did not say, go away from me, Peter. He said, go away from me, Satan, because Satan spoke on your mouth. So I cast out Satan, who used your mouth to say that, trying to let me escape from the cross. In the same meaning, we don't hate anyone. We hate Satan, who leads our beloved everywhere to do or to say, to behave any improper behavior. Please, at the end of the year, we raise up our hearts and feed back our lives and think of it. What fruits should I give him if he calls me now? How far do I spend with him, and how much do I spend with the world? How much do I love him and be delighted to pray for him and to listen to his words in the Bible, to exchange the dialogue relationship, not the monologue, between him and me. He speaks to me in the Bible, and I speak to him in the prayer. Please feedback yourself. If you have spent long time without repentance, without confession, without receiving the Holy Communion, not as a habit, but as a source of renewing the power of resurrection in me, and to continue in the good testament with him. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
We believe in one God, God the Father, Creator, who created heaven and earth and all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of life, true Lord of true God, that is not created, one is the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary, and became man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, was buried on the third day, rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures, ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of his Father, is coming again, his glory to judge the living and dead, whose kingdom shall not end. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, life giver, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father, and the Son is worth glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and Holy Catholic Apostolic Church, confess one baptism for remission of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead.
Ebibros Christos ite.
Que tobne.